This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Parental discretion is advised.
Here we go, Barflies. Welcome to the Barfly Tailgate Show. You already know it's done by Barflies, for Barflies, and all the other Bears fans out there. And it's here. It's kickoff time. Thursday fight night. Packers are coming to town ready to get fucked up by this Bear defense. We got the boys in the house bringing it tonight. We're all back. The crew is here. We're going to have the fantasy football goon guys in at the end of the show to give you all your fantasy needs. But let me kick it around to this crew first. Mr. Ryan Badgley, Badge of Honor's in the house. What's up, brother? How are you?
Yo, what up, man? Freaking doing good, dude. Freaking amped, ready. I'm ready for the Bears to freaking stomp on the Packers' throats. And, you know, just excited for everything happening at Bears Barroom, man. If you guys are not listening to Bears Barroom or you know somebody who's looking for Bears content, you gotta point them in the direction of Bears Barroom, man. We are kicking ass, taking names, and that's exactly what's going to happen on Thursday night as we open up the 100th season and whoop some cheese ass.
Damn straight. Start grating that cheese. And, dude, like you said, I mean, the people, like, downloads last month? 20,000 downloads last
month. Yeah, man.
It was fucking crazy, man. Like, just out there killing it. Next person we got in the house is Mr. AC in the place to be. He's going to give us the fucking Kentucky weather. AC, what up, boy?
Right, what's going on, fellas? Another beautiful day down here in Kentucky. It's nice and 80 degrees today. I went camping over the weekend, you know, made some s'mores and shit. It was nice. But now I'm in bear mode now. I'm ready for the Bears to kick some ass on Thursday. I even took the night off. It's like Christmas for me, boy. Let's go.
Damn straight, man. I can't wait. I mean, it's right here. It's coming. We're ready to do it, ready to bring it. And the last one that we got in the house is Mr. Ryan Kirkland Billings. Mr. Kirk KB Kirk, whatever the fuck we want to call him.
Many aliases, baby. What's good, fellas?
Gotta keep the people guessing.
Feeling like the coach in the basketball room on the viral video. Hit him with the let's go, baby. 100th year, man. We're gonna whoop these boys' ass. Let's go.
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait, dude. I mean, this thing's about to get started, but let's kick this show off. Let's get this thing rolling. The final 53 is here, man. We're going to go through the list. We're going to see who made it, who didn't. Well, we're not going to go through the list. You should know who the list is. But we're going to talk to you guys and see who you guys like that's on the list. You know, maybe some guys that didn't make the list. And let's just go with the miss, the big swings and the misses. Who are the guys that you thought, you know, that were going to make the list that didn't? Let's start this thing off with Mr. Badgley, Ryan Badgley, who missed the list that you thought was a lock for the 53, or maybe that you just, you know, wanted to see up there for sure.
I'm gonna apologize to my man AC now because I know he wanted this name, but the one, the only, the new New York Jet, Mr. Ian Bunting. I'm highly disappointed that he at least wasn't part of the practice squad. The fact that he's not on the 53 right now when Trey Burton is again nursing an injury. I'm just a little bit beside myself. You know, Horsted had a great, you know, preseason, especially the last two games receiving. I feel like Bunting, you know, much better inline blocker and can also make plays in the pass game. So a little disappointed that I don't see him on our roster, let alone in our organization anymore. So, highly disappointed with the loss of Ian Bunting.
Yeah, me too, man. It was a guy that I really wanted to stick. And especially, I mean, we'll get into it when we talk a little bit about the Burton injury, but it's a guy I wanted to stick for sure. And, you know, we'll talk about who's left there and what guys we got what we're working with. You know, since you stole the ACs, we're just going to, you know, fuck him again. And let's go right over to Ryan KB. Mr. KB, who's the guy that you thought was going to make this 53 and didn't make it, man?
I'm going to have to say James Waters, man. I feel like the guy had a hell of a preseason coming off the edge for his rushing, man. He had 3 sacks, 2 strip sacks. I mean, that's big time to me. And it's kind of disappointing to see him not on the roster, but I'm happy that he made the practice squad.
Yeah, for sure, man. Me too. I mean, the guy came out and balled out. He did everything that you want a player to do in preseason. 100%, without a doubt. If this dude wasn't, you know, a veteran, even though I know he doesn't have a game start, but he's been in the league since 2015 and bouncing around from little teams. But if he was a rookie and he showed out in preseason like that, there's no way he wouldn't be on this 53. He'd be on there for sure. But since he's got a little, you know, a little time in the league and that, he's down in the practice squad. But it does give us that added depth, and it gives us in case something happens or whatever. I'm not going to say any names or throw any jinxes out there, but in case something happens, he's a guy that I think that we can bring up and see what he can do in the system with the rest of these starters around him. All right, finally, AC, we'll come over to you, man. Who's the one guy, you know, that you wanted to see make this team that missed it, or, you know, a guy that you think that maybe didn't even make the practice squad and you wanted to keep him around?
Yeah, I thought Alex Bars looked good in the preseason. He showed versatility with the ability to play offensive tackle and offensive guard. And that's an issue not only in Chicago, but league-wide, is the depth at offensive line and versatility as well. That's what you want with an offensive lineman. So I was really shocked that he got cut after showing out a little bit in the preseason, but I'm really glad that he cleared waivers and ended up on our practice squad. And I definitely thought that he should have been over, what's his name? Lucas the Third. I can't remember his name. Yeah. Cornelius.
Cornelius. There you go.
I thought he was better than him. I was shocked he was cut, but I'm glad he's back on the 53-man roster, or on the practice squad rather.
Yeah, me too, man. And it was a guy that all of, all the Twitter heads and everybody, I mean, a lot of the guys in the barroom, everybody thought for sure that he was going to make the roster. And when he didn't, you know, some tweets went out like, oh, my gosh, can't believe this guy didn't make it, this and that. Then some idiots were tweeting like, the Barry season's over because Bars didn't make it. Just stupid shit that obviously they're not paying any attention to the games or anything like that. I mean, he made it. He cleared waivers. I think one of the big things on this is that he didn't really play last year. He was injured last year. Tore his ACL. He missed, you know, the majority of the season. So that, you know, that first preseason game was his first time playing football in over a year. I think he balled out too. I think he's a great swing guy. He's a great, like, just, you know, all around offensive lineman that could be used anywhere. I'm glad we ended up getting him on the practice squad. And now nobody could take him unless we allow it. So from there, it's obviously a bonus. Dude, the one guy I wanted for, you know, besides Bunting was Duck. I thought Clifton Duck came out and did his thing. He showed that he knows how to get after the ball. He does have, like, so that one year, I'm trying to think of what it was exactly, but he was like ranked like number one in college football, and that was above some of the guys that went in the first round. And he's just showed that he can transfer that skill to the NFL with that pick, you know, and getting in there and sticking his head in there. But he's not signed by anybody right now. So, you know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I thought that he was, you know, he had it for sure. Maybe there's other things the coaches are looking at, because who knows, man? Obviously, they're the professionals, the one making the decisions. But he didn't get picked up by anybody. And, you know, wish the kid well. Hopefully he gets picked up by somebody. And, yeah, I wouldn't mind them, you know, how they like let a guy out, bring a guy in. I thought for sure Denmark was going to be going to the IR, and then Duck would have had that spot.
Looked to me like he was one of those Ryan Pace DBs, the feistiness that he looks for, that he talks about with defensive backs. He had that. So, yeah, it was kind of shocking to me, too, that they didn't at least put him on the practice squad. Maybe he'll be in the XFL and be able to put something on tape for people. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be good. And, I mean, maybe some of this has to do with Pagano, though, too. Obviously, he's the guy, you know, the quote-unquote DB, you know, guru, and we've seen what he's done with other DBs in the past, and maybe Pagano just he doesn't fit Pagano's suit of what he wants. He's obviously been doing this a lot longer than any of us. So it's just a guy that he, you know, maybe I'm sure he thought the kid was a great kid, but it's just, you know, one that he didn't want to bring to his team. Let's go over this practice squad real quick. We ended up with 6 offensive players, 4 defensive players. You guys, we'll go around the room and I'll get you guys to comment on maybe guys that you think shouldn't be here or you thought somebody else should be here. We'll start with this offense. We got Ryan Nall, which a lot of people thought were going to make this team. We got Bray as our practice squad quarterback. Jesper Horsted, tight end, Thomas Ives, and then we got Mustafa and Bars as our offensive linemen on the offensive side of the practice squad. On the defensive side, we got Denmark, Michael Joseph, Jonathan Harris, and James Vaughters. Let's start this thing off with KB. KB, who do you think, is there anybody on here that maybe you wanted to see somebody else take a spot from that you didn't think was going to be on the practice squad or just you know, is there anybody on here that you thought was going to actually be on the regular squad besides Bars?
I'm going to go ahead and pour some more of this crown so I can calm my nerves on this one. Because I got an issue with this Bray thing, man. I have an issue with this Bray thing. And I'm not going to channel my inner games. I'm gonna keep it low key.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand
why. Microphone couldn't handle it if you tried.
Right. I don't understand why you go through the loopholes. I don't understand the process of trying to groom Bray to be a practice squad / backup quarterback when he has no future with the team that I can see. I think any fan that has any sort of intelligence can see this man's not going to be the backup quarterback next year or any years after that. So why wouldn't you go out? DeShone Kizer was cut. Tyree Jackson was cut. Hogan was cut. Kyle Lauletta was cut. The names go on and on. You go and get these young kids and stash them on the practice squad now. Get them to start learning the offense. So next year, when you're sitting there looking at a Chase Daniels and you're sitting there saying, you know, if it's between keeping you and giving Eddie Jackson $2 or $3 more million, I'm going to have to give Eddie Jackson $2 or $3 million more. So you got to go. I'm with this notion that we need to keep somebody here for Trubisky. Next year, Trubisky's going to be in this system for 3 years. He doesn't need somebody to hold his hand anymore. He needs somebody that's going to push his ass. So I'm baffled by why Bray's still on this roster. He showed nothing outside of half of a preseason game. And a couple quarters in the fourth preseason game when he's playing against Scrubs to show why he should be on this team or this practice squad. I mean, yeah. I have nothing against this guy. He seems like he's a good person. But you've been in the league for 7 years or whatever in this offense, and you don't see the growth. We didn't get to see what Calvin Riley really looked like. We didn't get to see Juice. We didn't get to see Marvin Hall, who's now on the streets. And he was showing out in training camp. But we didn't get to see that because he can't hit somebody downfield accurately or throw a pass on time. So that's just my piece on that. I see people on Twitter saying, oh, well, he knows the offensive system. I can give a fuck if he knows the offensive system.
Yeah.
It's not helping him any.
And it sure didn't help those wide receivers. In college, so it's not like a new thing where he can't hit people. He's always had a stronger arm than he needed to have. He didn't have accuracy at Tennessee, so he damn sure ain't going to have accuracy now. Still.
He's a dummy. Yeah. He's a dummy-o quarterback. You know, if you've ever seen Varsity Blues, you'll know the reference.
Varsity Blues, yeah.
He's a dummy-o QB. Yeah. This is a guy. Now, here's the difference. He's not going to be James Vanderbeek and come out and win a bunch of games and whatnot because he sucks. I mean –
nobody's going to be putting whipped cream on for this dude. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm sure there probably is because I mean, he makes a pretty nice salary being on the practice squad. But right. I mean, this guy, as KB said, just the fact again, and here, you know, this is again, Ryan Pace. I love Ryan Pace. I don't want to make it seem like I love what Ryan Pace has done. The change since he's been here. But this is going to be a black eye on Ryan Pace, on the scouting department, on the head coach. And it kind of, to me, goes down even to Dave Ragone a little bit. Brad Childress, the, you know, Mark Helfrich, the other guys that are involved in this offense. You're telling me Tyler Bray is a better option than any of these other guys that just either hit the street or signed with other teams.
And I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it either. I was gonna say, man, and like I said, I've been in conversations with people on Twitter for days talking about this since we've seen it, saying, "Oh, you know, well, he's there because he knows the offense, he knows how to do this." I'm sorry, I'm past that now. I'm past that. Why do we need a third quarterback that knows the offense when we could be teaching and grooming somebody that's young that can come in and just in case of an injury to Trubisky? We sit there and say, you know what, man? That kid has fucking promise to him. He has an edge to him. Yeah. Where is that? I don't see that in play at all.
Practice squad guy, you're learning the offense any damn way. I mean, it's not like you're
reading
a different playbook or something.
That's the key point that we're missing.
So, yeah. Like I said, that's one of the baffling moves to me. Like I said, I can be called an armchair GM all day. If folks want to do that shit, all you can do that. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But my eyes tell me something when I see Bray play, and he ain't it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can literally take this time, and somebody could be there learning this offense. Well, the only thing we're doing right now is wasting time. I mean, we're souping up a damn, you know, an old style, you know, an old broke down vehicle that we know we're never going to use. And for what? Like, we're just storing that thing in the garage when we can just get something else in here, get something newer, something a little more reliable, something with a little less tread on the tires. This dude, like you said, he's been in the offense for so long, 7 years, and he should be able to go up against these backups in preseason and smoke check everybody. And I read something on him a while back. It was like not a while, like a couple weeks ago, and it was like his draft profile, and it said Tyler Bray's arm is stronger than his wide receiver's feet. That's not a good write up. Like, just because a dude could gun the ball 80 yards, but he can't fucking hit anything, it's no good for him. And I mean, it's just, why he's sticking around, I don't know. I was hoping he was gone. I'm glad Mazzell was gone, but why he's sticking around, I don't know, man. I think we should bring in a younger kid and, you know, and go from there and see, start building this kid now and letting him learn the offense and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, the other one that, and not to, I mean, I don't hate that he's here, but to me, I liked his tackling. You know, I thought he was a little questionable in coverage at times, as Michael Joseph. To me, I would have rather seen Clifton Duck here on the practice squad and Joseph gone, or Denmark put on IR and, you know, Duck takes Denmark's spot and you keep Joseph as well. Now, I don't want to make it seem like, you know, Joseph was awful. He wasn't. There was just a few times where I thought, you know, going back and rewatching the preseason games, where I thought he could have been better.
More promise.
Promise, you know, where Duck. Duck just, I mean, he looks the part. He's a playmaker. You know what I mean? You saw it in the Giants game, the interception. And there were other instances where he looked really good. So, you know, I was a little surprised, Bobby, and I know from, you know, having conversations off, you know, online, whatnot, that Denmark wasn't put on IR. Then to me, if he's okay to play, why wasn't he playing in that fourth preseason game to at least get some reps?
Yeah, so I was talking to Aldo about this, and Denmark not going to the – so if Denmark would have went to the IR, they would have had to pay him his – I want to say it's $2.3 million. But now that he was cut and then signed to the practice squad, that's the only reason why I could think of why they would straight to IR.
Couldn't they cut him, put him on the practice squad, then IR him?
Yeah, they could. I mean, you know, I think they could. I don't even know, man. Maybe not. Maybe I don't think you can IR a guy who's on the practice squad. I don't fucking know. That's a good question.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe somebody looks it up or whatever. But I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if somebody on the practice squad could actually go to the IR, or if they would just have to be waived. You know, but from there, you got Mustafa, who, you know, obviously he's one of Heistand's guys, so he stayed around. Thomas Ives, who showed a lot of promise. You know, he's unfortunately, and I actually talked to them yesterday just through messages, but, you know, congratulated him on locking down with the team. You know, he might be the Tanner Gentry of the practice squad, you know, because they kind of took Tanner's spot, I think. You know, came out, made the dazzling catches, did his thing.
Yeah, man.
Balled out when he had to, and then ended up on the practice squad. Jesper Horsted, who Nagy came out and said in the presser that, you know, the kid's raw. He needs a lot more work, but he's doing his thing, and he's a real smart kid. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Jonathan Harris. We already talked about James Walters. We talked about Michael Joseph and Steven Denmark. So, I mean, that's the practice squad, man. Those are the guys we got. They'll practice with the team every day. They won't travel, but they'll still be there every day doing the thing, you know, and learning this offense or defense and growing into what we, you know, hope could be a starting role one day.
Pose a question to you guys here. Obviously, we touched on not grabbing a quarterback, but were you surprised there was no other waiver claims that were made?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was shocked, man. I thought for sure we would have put one in for some people, you know, for a quarterback for sure. But I don't know. I was shocked. What about you guys? What did you guys think?
I was going to say shit. I'm like the two big names I was looking at, man. Noah Spence, who I don't know if he went unclaimed or if he did get claimed.
Yeah, he's still not claimed.
I find it very hard, man. I find it very hard not to claim that kid. He could offer much needed depth off the edge. And then Ja'Kai Polite, I know that I've seen a report right now, like I guess he had like over $100,000 in fines that he left unpaid for the Jets. But
yeah,
I mean, if you get him in a room where people that actually got their heads on right and not with a coach who looks like he's doing crystal meth on the side. I don't know how they haven't drug tested that man yet, man, to be honest, bro.
He could walk to St. Louis from New York on crystal meth.
Man, I'm pretty sure he has. I'm pretty sure he has. But
I don't know about Polite, man. I don't agree with you on Polite. Polite did get picked up by the Seahawks though, but he did. He's on the Seahawks now. But granted, I think we do have the leadership there that could help the kid and do that. But also, I mean, this kid just got a golden ticket, and I posted this, but the kid got a golden ticket, and he had to follow some rules, man. And he, like, I'm sure, fulfilled his dream and was drafted into the NFL, right? And had the golden ticket, and then you're not even through preseason yet, and this kid's getting fined because he's not showing up to meetings, because he's late, because he missed practices and mandatory events that he's supposed to be at, and he was a no-show. Like, not excused, not nothing, just a fucking no-show. I mean, this, you could have dreams and aspirations, but if you ain't working towards them, that shit just ain't free. It ain't just going to stay there. For me, man, I just don't think his head's on straight. Go ahead, man.
I don't know if you guys watch Hard Knocks this year. A spoiler alert. That's what got Ronnie Ollie cut was that he wasn't showing. He didn't show up to treatment. You know what I mean? Yes, they were like, "Why ain't you showing up? You're a grown man." And they showed him the door. Speaking of Noah Spence, he played at EKU right down here after he got in some trouble at Ohio State. And I always thought he was a 3-4 defense fit. And I don't think that's what they run in Tampa where they drafted him at. They tried to bulk him up and put him out at 4-3 defensive end. But he might be a guy who could benefit from our defense, from the style of defense we play.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. I mean, they cut him 2 days ago now, and he hasn't been claimed yet, which is, you know, I don't know if there's, you know, how I'm sure coaches talk. I'm sure people they call and ask, hey, what's up with this kid? What happened here? Right. What happened there? So there has to be some underlying issues, I would think. And then it's just whether or not somebody's going to take a shot on him. Mm-hmm. You know, and go from there. That Ronald Lally kid that you were talking about, that was the kid off of Last Chance U.
Yeah.
And remember, and even there, he was lazy there too, man. And he was one of the best players and just lazy. And I don't know. I mean, who knows what goes through, you know, maybe these guys just don't feel like that's, you know, they're not, obviously football teams and some of these.
I was going to say, he did go to Nichols State.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the D2 school.
Yeah, some of these teams, I mean, some of these guys just, they don't want to be institutionalized. And that's exactly what the NFL season is. You know, it's these guys get instituted. They're on a schedule. They have to be places, have to do things. And some of these, you know, guys are just like, hey, look, I made it. And they think it's over from there. And then you got other guys who I think would be great assets and great additions to teams. And they get cut, you know, because, yeah. Hey, there's just somebody who's balling out a little better than you are. So it's a tough business, man. A tough situation. You know, and then guys will get hurt. Guys will get hurt, and some of these guys will get the call back. You know, and some of these guys, they won't. And they'll be sitting there wondering why the hell nobody's calling, you know, when they know that there's all these holes that they could potentially fill.
Well, you think about it, guys. We were all young kids at one point, and, you know, we've all done some dumb shit, you know, over the course of our lifetime, and especially as we were younger, you know, I mean, I was an idiot from the time I was probably 13 till I was 25, you know.
Yeah, I'm still an idiot.
Well, I mean, it's probably possible that I am too, but it took you know, having a child of my
I'm
own
not to an care idiot. I'm really, very smart.
to really you know, having to, you know, care for a life that helped me grow up quite a bit. But, you know, some of these guys, you know, you look at the situation with Zeke Elliott in Dallas. I mean, Dallas basically has a security team to stop Zeke from doing dumb shit. So, you know, I mean.
And he still does dumb shit.
Still, exactly.
The team doesn't work.
Clearly, they're pissing money away. But, you know, I guess I think to a degree it's expected, but you would think going from, and I don't care if it's D3, D2, D1, a college program where you're on a schedule from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, it's the same thing in the NFL. I mean, so why all of a sudden he's coming in and having an issue? If I'm anybody, I would stay away from the guy. Or if I didn't and I did bring him in, I mean, it's one chance and you're out the door. No,
No, you're right, man. I mean, people, they're not going to play around like this. These guys aren't what's it called? These guys aren't needed like they were in college and high school. They don't get to slide by with, you know, get away with certain things and whatever. And granted, some of them are needed, but there's so much scrutiny over what these players do and what's going on that sometimes they just cut their losses. It doesn't matter on your talent, and they'll just cut their losses and go from there. But we got a guy that might not be playing week one, so we could just roll into that. News broke today that he was limited in practice, and it kind of brings us back to what we were talking about earlier. Trey Burton was limited in practice. There's, you know, we only kept a few tight ends. And from there, I mean, who knows what this guy, what's going to happen with him. Badge, let's come over to you on this one, man. You know, Burton, he's limited, they said. So what's your take?
You know, I was one of the anti-anxiety guys when news broke that, you know, he was going to miss the Philly game, you know, for the playoffs. You know, we had a couple takes on the old Barfly tailgate show that he was a mental case and so on and so forth and whatnot. And, you know, to me, I really don't think that's it at all. At this point, I just think he is frail. You know, little injuries popping up, and they just seem to pop up at inopportune times. So, you know, I really hope this isn't something serious. And I hope to see him on the field Thursday night and making plays. But if not, I mean, you know, Shaheen stopped eating Chipotle and he lost a bunch of weight and so on and so forth. And, you know, like he's got to step it up. And to that point, so does Ben Broniker. I mean, you heard Nagy mention him today in the presser. you know, this is what I was saying about not having Ian Bunting. You know, clearly, maybe, I don't know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about when I look at guys on the field. I mean, clearly my RRH take went over like a lead balloon. but I will tell you this. I did go back and look at the Giants game, and he was around for one play. But anyway, good for RRH. He's on the roster, whatever. I'll never make a statement like that again. But back to, you know, these guys. I mean, I've been waiting. You know, I thought it was a stretch getting Shaheen, you know, going up to get him in the second. When they got him in the second round, I was like, wait a minute, who is this guy? Then you see his size and you saw what he did at Ashland, you know, and, you know, I was a little excited, but it just hasn't transitioned. I mean, you go back and look at that Philly game.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, dude, Cravon LeBlanc is a foot shorter and 100 pounds lighter. Yeah, and he run him over,
run
dude.
Run his ass over.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. So, you know, I don't know. Trey, man, I hope you're okay, dude, but, you know, this is getting to be a little, you know, too frequent for me, and, you know, I really don't think it's an anxiety issue, and I'm not bagging on anxiety. I know how bad it is. You know, I've lived with it. You know, I know people that fight it on a daily basis, man. And if you're ever, ever in need of talking to somebody, please reach out. Please listen to Let's Talk It Out with our man, Trey Busy, Alex Lifshultz. I'm just saying, just don't, you know.
Yeah. It's a good tie-in. But, yeah, I get it, man. I mean, I don't think it's an anxiety thing either. I think he's just, you know, hitting a couple, you know, a couple low points. But, I mean, this is definitely a position that we were worried about. You had some draft experts saying that we needed to draft a tight end. You know, and then now we got Shaheen, who, even though I said I think he's going to have a big year, he's been injured every year. And now this stuff with Burton started in the playoffs, and we're still looking at it right now. Then we got Ben Broniker, who everybody, you know, everybody says is an athlete and all this and that, and we just need to see it. And granted, we've seen a lot from Broniker. I'm just saying, like, as a number one guy. And then you got a guy who transitioned from offensive line to tight end. So that would, you know, one snap and you're down Shaheen. And now you got Broniker and Sol, who are your tight ends. And that's where I think we swung and missed, man, with letting Bunting go. It was one of the reasons I thought for sure they were going to put five tight ends on this team because of Burton not going through camp and Shaheen not, you know, not just not being reliable throughout the years. Saul,
however the fuck you say his stupid name, to me, he's fucking useless. You know, I don't see him having any impact like in this on this team whatsoever. It's a wasted roster spot to me.
Now, I know it's not the Bears, but KB's been dying to talk about some Trent Williams. So, KB, go ahead, brother.
Trent Williams with Jay Gruden, not John Gruden. So, that's the Redskins people.
So, he's been holding out the whole time, and Gruden was asked when he thinks he's going to return, and he said he's pretty much numb to the fact by now. But that, he's been holding out this whole time. Gruden, I think, was asked today, and he said, hey, I'm numb to it by now. Like, don't even ask me that shit anymore.
Yeah, he was one of the big people were talking about him getting traded for Jadeveon Clowney whenever they were on the trade block because they were both holding out.
We gonna talk about that shit? I know it's not the Bears, but the highway robbery. Somebody was in the back, like Dave Chappelle said. No, let him finish. Jadeveon Clowney will be traded to the Seattle Seahawks.
You know, he first originally on the table was Miami. He had come out and said that he is not going to go to Miami, a trade clause in there, and he was not going to go play for Miami. So Seattle ended up coming to the table and making a trade with the Texans for him. Seattle got, obviously, Jadeveon Clowney, and Houston got a third-round pick. I know they got a third. Yeah, I think it was a six. They got a third round pick. They got Jacob Martin, right? The linebacker. And they got Barcavius Mingo. I think that was it, though. I think the next trade that the Texans did was the with Miami.
Yeah, Kenny Stills, the big dude. Okay, so yeah, they got Kenny Stills and Laramie Tunsil, which I like Laramie Tunsil, but I don't think he's – I mean, he's good. I don't think he's great. You know, his draft stock dropped because he was smoking weed, but who gives a shit, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, that
but if I was a player and I got to go back to Jadeveon Clowney, if I got a chance to go to Seattle or Miami, shit, I'm going to Miami, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just something in the organization because there was people saying even before the trade how you don't want to come to Miami, you don't want to play here. But in that trade, Houston got Laramie Tunsil and Kenny Stills. They got a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick in 2021. And Miami got a 2020 first round, 2021 first round, 2021 second round, Julian Davenport and Johnson Betemosi. And I don't know who either of those two dudes are.
Is Davenport the guy that they just drafted this year? Or am I thinking of somebody else? I know Texans drafted an offensive lineman this year.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
No,
man.
They drafted Titus Howard in the first round. I want to say Matt. Is it Max or Matt Sharping? It's another tackle or guard, I want to say. But Julian Davenport's been on their roster for a little bit, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's some crazy trades this weekend, and everybody, you know, like everybody, I've seen a bunch of people trying to relate this to the Bears, saying how you thought Pace got fleeced, giving up two first rounds for Mac. Look at this shit for Tunsil. You know what I mean? And who knows, man? I don't care. I don't really grade other people's trades. I'm only worried about ours. I mean, yeah, they got a steal, and I would have probably been in on the Clowney deal. I would have went after him for sure. I was talking to Shane a little bit about it that morning before the trade went down. But, yeah, I would have definitely wanted in on that thing. And, I mean, why not? You go after players like that.
What would you have traded for it?
I mean, obviously they were looking for an offensive lineman, and we didn't have it. So, I mean, going to the table, you would have had to try to work something in there that they needed. They didn't get any offensive linemen from Seattle, who they actually traded him for, because the original trade they thought they were looking for Tunsil. It was going to be Tunsil for Clowney, and then there was going to be more picks, you know, in that regard coming up from them. So, I mean, in the long run, I don't know. I mean, I guess I would have to go back and actually draw up a whole trade proposal type deal, but I just thought for sure, man, we could have got after him and seen what happened. And who knows? Maybe we did.
I was gonna say, man, real quick, just for shits and gigs, since we're at this point. So, if just looking at that bullshit trade package they offered them,
yeah,
because we all know that shit was crazy. So, if they would have been okay with taking, let's say, a Bobby Massey. Would you have traded Bobby Massey knowing that we had Alex Barnes who could probably come in and play right tackle and then offer, you know what I'm saying, whatever you want to offer after that? Like I said, the rest of that trade was BS anyway. But have the main piece being the Bobby Massey to try to bring him in. Could you see a trade like that being swung? Would you be comfortable with Barnes playing right tackle?
I don't know. I like now where I'm at right now where they – obviously, he went to the practice squad for a reason and didn't come up. I mean, I'm sure it's probably something that they talked about. But I don't think that they were ready for Bars to play. They didn't think that he could fill that position, you know, before the trade. So why would they think he can do it after? You know what I mean? You got to protect your – no matter how you look at it, man, Mitch Trubisky is your fucking main piece. I wouldn't risk his safety for another defensive player, no. Now, if we had a guy that, you know, maybe we had a couple guys, maybe we were stocked up or whatever, then possibly. But I don't know, man. I think the way that it goes, these guys have been playing with Mitch. You want them all to stick around. They're all on the same page. And I wouldn't interrupt the offensive side because now you look at it, you're interrupting the offensive side of the ball and you're interrupting your defensive side of the ball because you're adding a player to the defensive side and you're taking a player away from your offensive side. So where we sit now, no, I wouldn't have pulled the trigger on it. Any of you guys would, but I wouldn't have done it, man.
I wouldn't have done it. It was just one of those things that was just a throw out thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you know what I'm saying? That does sound interesting, but I wouldn't do it. That's all I was looking at.
I wouldn't have done it because I want to lock up white hair. I mean, that I don't think it was even on the table because I think they knew what they were doing. You know, when they had Charles Leno restructure, they knew that money was going to Cody Whitehair, not to fucking Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, and all the talk that you've heard this preseason about Leonard Floyd and you know, I mean, maybe they think they got somebody who is that already. Who knows? You know, I mean, you walk around looking like the Packers and have $105 million tied up in your offense and only fucking $48 million in your defense.
And you only got two middle linebackers that are going to play this week.
Seven DBs.
People are running away from Rashawn Gary already. Didn't y'all hear that? they're already running away from him.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, hey, that's perfect. We can roll right into this. I mean, it's game week, fellas. We got the Bears and Packers coming. No, it's the 100-year celebration. We're starting this bitch off. We're kicking this thing off. 100-year celebration. Bears and Packers. Thursday night, I mean, there's a lot of first, and there's a lot of first in an old time rivalry. I couldn't speak for a second, but I mean, looking at this Packer team, we could just start with them, man. Let's just start with the Packers first. You got Rodgers. This is his first time ever with a new offensive coordinator. First time in his career. You have 17 players, I think, 17 new players collectively on that team. You know, you got a lot of brand new happening, and for some reason these Packer fans think that they're the same old Packers and everything's fine-tuned and running, when we all know that it's not. That's not the way it is. AC, let's start with you, man. What do you see out of this Packer team coming into fucking Soldier Field? What do you think some things that you know, that people should watch for on the, you know, defensive side of the ball and on the offensive side of the ball?
I mean, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is a future Hall of Famer. I give him all the respect that he deserves. But he is a whiny little bitch, and Khalil Mack's going to smack him in the fucking face Thursday. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I took the night off for it, brother.
Hell yeah.
And then on defense, they got some young guys. They drafted some secondary pieces. Jair Alexander went right here up the street at Louisville, so I already hate his ass. Now double. and Rashawn Gary, they got the second best Michigan line defensive end from last year. So I'm not really, there's nothing they do that scares me. And I really think we're going to run the ball all over them with Mitch and Run DMC, to be honest. I don't see how they can stop us, and I don't see how they can move the ball on our all pro defense. Chuck Pagano is going to be aggressive and get after that ass. And I think we're going to win by at least 14-17.
Okay. Coming over to you, KB. What do you think, man? What's some stuff about this Packer team that you think maybe we're not talking about, or what things you expect to see on Thursday night?
The thing I expect to see, and I swear that if it isn't done, then we have a whole problem. I run up the middle on them all fucking day. They have one decently good defender on that team, and that's fucking Kenny Clark. I'm sorry, when Mike Daniels is let go, it's kind of like one of those things. You just take a breath of fresh air because he's not on that team anymore. And I had the utmost respect for utmost fucking love for that kid, that guy. That dude was good, and there was no debating that. He was fucking great. He's gone. They're suiting up two linebackers, two inside linebackers. That's damn near disrespectful. In my Stephen A. voice, that's disrespectful. I'm going to them all day because who's going to stop him? And then you got Tariq playing in the slot. Martinez can't cover. He is not a cover linebacker at all. I would eat them up all damn
tackler,
day.
But
you know what I'm saying? Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller can both have two or three catches the entire night for all I fucking care. Tariq Cohen can have 10, 12. David Montgomery can have 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And Trubisky can have almost 300 yards just off throwing to the running backs. because I don't I don't understand how you're gonna freaking cover them with those linebackers they got.
You know, and the crazy thing, the two guys that you mentioned are actually listed on their injury report. I want to say there's 16 guys on here. Well, this is from Monday. So there's 16 guys on here. But although Clark was a full participation and so was Blake Martinez, they were both full participation. Kevin King was limited. Holman, another cornerback, was limited. Jimmy Graham was limited. Oren Burks, linebacker, did not participate, something with a chest injury. Brian Bulaga, he was limited. And then everybody, Darius Shepherd, wide receiver, he didn't participate for a hamstring. And Jay Sternberger, ankle, did not participate. Everybody else listed on here was full participation, but they're still listed on their injury report.
It's like you can go in depth on this whole thing that, massively, and it's, you're just looking at it. Bulaga's not playing. They brought in a scrub from, I can't remember what team, to play guard, and folks are talking about this kid like he's the second coming to fucking Quentin Nelson. Like he's actually going to do some damage. Just, no, it's not going to happen. You got Akeem Hicks and Bilal Nichols going to be coming up the middle on them. It's like, come on, bro.
I mean, yeah, and their secondary last year got smoke checked. So why don't you, I know, so I asked KB earlier today. I told him, he said he was playing Madden, and I told him to run me a couple Madden sims on Bears Packers. On opening night, obviously, the 100 game, the Thursday night in Chicago. I told him just run them three times and let's bring it to the show. And I know a lot of people don't give a fuck what Madden has to say, but who cares? It's in good fun. So, KB, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what the three scores were of these games?
All right, man, the three scores. I'm going to let y'all know there was no forced winning. There's no foul playing. This is the Bears lost. They lost. They win. It's whatever. Like my man said, it's all in good fun. So out of the three sims I did, the Bears got them twice. So the first game was a good 35-17 ass whooping. Trubisky, I'm gonna let y'all know in both wins, the common theme is Trubisky goes for four touchdowns on them. So the second one that we did came out 31-8 Green Bay. Now that should let you know right there. There is no foul play in this because there's no way in hell I'm going to sit there and get the Bears to go 31-8. Stop.
But it's not just a no. It's a hell no.
So, then you got my third one. Third one was a lot closer, 31-25. But like I said, the common theme in this is Trubisky goes for four touchdowns in these games, with the first game being no interceptions and the third one that was a win with one interception. So, hey, man, look, Madden's got Green Bay as one of the top five teams in the game now. Top five. I don't see it.
Yeah, and we still top got five. Them twice. You know what's really funny about this, though? If we've simmed these and the Packers won all three, we'd be like, fuck you, Madden. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. But since the Bears took two out of the three. Yeah, and Mitch is throwing four touchdowns. We're like, okay now, Madden. Okay, here we go. But what about this Bears team, man? Come over to you, Badge. You got this Bears team coming in. What's some things you want to see, or what are maybe some surprises that you think Nagy's been holding off, and some things you want to see in this opening Thursday and just fucking lighten up that scoreboard?
I think Nagy's really going to freaking open everything up, you know, that he's been chopping at the bit to in the preseason. I really think that, Mitch is going to come out. He's going to be ready to go. It's time to put all the haters on blast and shut them up and, you know, really come out and just like the game started last year, blow these guys out of the water right off the bat. That first series, if you get the ball first or if you're on defense first, you know, really fucking stomp on their throats.
Yeah. And you got to keep it there this time, though.
Absolutely. You got to finish.
Yeah. Got to start digging them cleats in, man. And I mean, once you get them down, you got to dig that thing in and keep it there. So there's a lot of new for us also. Obviously, this will be Chuck's first game. Chuck's on the sidelines. This is Mac's first camp with us. Roquan's first camp with us. This is Ha Ha's first time, on the rivalry on our side of the ball playing against, you know, Rodgers and these guys. Offensively, Mitch, you know, year two, run DMC. You got these, you know, Allen Robinson. He's no shit 100%. They already said earlier today how last year you could tell he wasn't, like, making the cuts that they, you know, believed he could make. His speed wasn't where it should be. And that's because he was coming off of the injury. And, I mean, just these guys, man, these guys alone, it's the Chicago Bears are going to be nightmares for other teams, man. But, I mean, they're going to be nightmares for a lot of shit in fantasy drafts and getting some of these guys in there. And we're going to bring in our boys here in a little bit. But, I mean, trying to put these guys in there, you know, who do you go with? I mean, I drafted Montgomery, but then receiver-wise, with the amount that we're going to be spreading this ball around, you know, I think some of you guys seen that video with where Cone was drafted in the first round and he ended up hooking dude up with tickets or something like that for the game.
Hell, y'all seen that video.
Yeah, I mean, this team's going to be nightmares for people, man, and I think they're going to be spreading, just slinging the ball all over the place, and everybody's going to be getting touches. You know what? KB, what about you, man? You think is there a solid, a no shit solid fantasy, before we get the goon and the tooch in here, is there a solid fantasy pick on this team that you think, you know, 100% is putting up the numbers every day? Or do you think that this guy, you know, this team is just, you know, a spread load?
I'm gonna lean in and say that I believe that it's gonna be Trubisky. I think Trubisky is gonna be that no shit point scorer that nobody cares to even talk about because he went before Mahomes and Watson.
Yeah.
I just got that feeling that that's what it's going to be. I feel like he's going to, because he can run. People are not going to talk about that fact that that man can scramble his ass off, but I feel like he's going to put up points all fucking year.
Yeah, I do too, man. I think Montgomery's, you know, another one that can just be 100% counted on to put up big numbers this year. Cohen working out of the slot in that, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to put up the numbers that we've seen in the past, but I think he's going to be a weapon. But, I mean, like I said, man, who are we? We're not the fantasy experts. We got the fantasy experts here. You know, they're in the house, and I don't have the drop, but maybe I'll add it in later. So if you hear it, it's there. I'm not going to sing the song, but let's welcome our boys in the house. We got the goon and the tooch and the tooch and the goon.
Yeah, buddy.
Joey Two Scoops, John Santucci. What's going on, Joseph? We'll start with you, brother. How's things?
Oh, life is good, Bobby. Just got back from Vegas, man. I'm happy. I'm happy as a clam.
you got your happy ending in Vegas. Is that what I heard you say? You know, this
no
is...
happy. No.
I know.
No, sir.
I'm just fucking with you. Good, man. I hope the trip was good. I know. I know you put down some money on the Bears for me, so I'll collect that receipt from you later.
Oh. Okay.
He's like, you don't fuck you. No,
Shane,
I did it.
Shane did give me some money to make. I made a bet for Shane.
Nice. You know, I actually was thinking about it. Then I was like, you know what? I don't want to. This is this man's thing. I'm not going to be like, hey, can you do this for me? So
it's all good. Either way, it's, man, all good, man.
That's good. I hope you had a blast out there. Mr. Santucci, the new Iowan. He's he's packed his bags and he fucking went south. But he's, you know, it looks like he's in the new place. You know, we've got some things a little set up. Huh? Is it how's the house and how are you doing tonight, Tucci?
Hello, men. I'm surrounded by unpacked boxes.
Hey.
But I love it out here. I'm starting a new job tomorrow. So really excited.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Congratulations, and we appreciate you coming on with us tonight. I know you start your thing tomorrow morning is your first day on the new job. So we appreciate you, you know, still giving us a little love and coming on tonight with us to
anytime.
Do this thing. So let's kick this thing off, man. I know you guys heard me a little bit there. But why don't we just, we'll roll down the, like we used to do every week. Let's roll down with some fantasy sleepers for this week first. And then we'll go into start and sit. And then you guys could tell us what you think about this Bears offense and who, you know, maybe it's just added in there. So I won't separate the question. You guys are, you know, I know you guys do your thing. You have your own show, the Fantasy Football Goon on the Barroom Network. So make sure you guys check that out for everybody struggling through their fantasy. They'll be telling you who to pick up and maybe get off your rosters this year. So, Joe, why don't you kick it off? Kick it off with some fantasy sleepers, and you guys just pass it back and forth, and I'll shut the fuck up for a little while.
Sure thing, man. So this my big fantasy sleeper is not only for this week, it's for the season. And this is a guy who I have ranked at. I got my rankings out for the week right now for week one. So head over to fantasyfootballgoon.com. You can check out all those rankings. But my sleeper is Darren Waller out of Oakland at tight end. This kid is an absolute stud. I have him ranked at number 8 this week at tight end. Derek Carr loves to look his way, and he's a big, huge, athletic guy over the middle. And if you guys watch Hard Knocks, all the players said he's the guy to watch this year. He is my number one sleeper heading into the season. He has not been drafted in the majority of leagues. So right now you could probably go on waivers and pick this guy up. I drafted him in a bunch of my leagues. I know Tooch feels the same way about this guy. But Darren Waller,
love that
huge
pick. That was my sleeper pick too, Joe.
Really?
The kid's like 6'7", and last year Jared Cook went nuts with Derek Carr. You know, I'm with you all the way on Waller.
Oh yeah, man. I don't know if you guys can, if you heard me, I didn't mute and I was searching for a pen. So I was moving shit around because I was trying to write this kid's name down. I haven't watched Hard Knocks at all. I don't know. I've just never really been a Hard Knocks fan. I've hardly watched any of them in previous years. You know, if the Bears, unfortunately, I don't want them on there, but if they unfortunately ever make it on there, obviously I'll be watching then. But I don't know. Sometimes I just, you know, just stuck watching everything else that I'm watching. All right, guys. So that's a sleeper. Tooch, did you have another one, or we just had Darren Waller was the one for the week and potentially for the season?
I'll give you another one, Bobby, free of charge.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
I like this. Joe and I have been talking about the air raid offense and of the Arizona Cardinals, and they want to run 80 plays a game. So this kid I like, he's going to be one of the three starting wide receivers alongside Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald. His name is Keyshawn Johnson. He's got a real football name there.
Wow.
But yeah, watch out for this kid. And they're going to light it up with Kyler Murray, especially against the Lions, weak secondary. And another guy I really like this week, Chris Carson at home versus the Bengals. If you got Chris Carson,
absolutely,
you have got to get him in your lineup. He's going to run for days, so not that Keyshawn.
Aaron, Tooch, I have Carson ranked at number 7 this week, so I like the matchup as well.
I'm going up against Carson in one of my leagues this week, and he's a guy that I know we had talked about, well, not us personally, but you guys had talked about before on Fantasy Football Goon, and I actually was like, oh, I can wait another round. I can wait another round. I can't. Fuck, he's gone. You know?
I was the same way, man.
I just kind of was like, man, now he's gone. And then I even seen, granted, I was in there with the damn Cowboy fan, but Pollard I was waiting on, right? I was like, I don't know how the Zeke thing's going to work out. And now it kind of, you know, recent updates today, it kind of looks like they're in the works of making something happen now. But Pollard was a guy I was waiting on. And then one of the guys I'm in it with, he's a Cowboy fan. He took him in like the 4th round. And
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was like,
Bears
what the
defense? That happened to me in every draft. I was like, well, I can wait a little, a round or two later. And then there they went in like the 7th round and shit.
Yeah.
If you're playing with all Bears fans, they're going to go a lot earlier than that. Like maybe the 1st round draft.
Most of them aren't even True Bears statement. Fans that I play with. Yeah, I play with a lot of guys I was in the Army with, so they're all over the country, you know, and they just.
I believe that was our boy Tyler Ellis who drafted the Bears in the 1st round of our draft. He was here a little while ago, but he's Tyler or Gaines was here with us a little while ago, but one of his buddies had a baby tonight, so he went up to the hospital to be with them and you know, wish him a congratulations in that. So he had a pop off, but I know we were giving him shit because he took the Bears defense in the 1st round of ours. Obviously, the Bears defense is one that you're rolling with all year long. You're not even dropping them when it comes for a bye week. You know what I mean? You're just picking up somebody else and trying to fill them against the worst opponent that you could find. But who are some other guys that you know, maybe some starts, you know, maybe like a good week, you know, is this a big week? You know what? So this is something that I used to do, and I don't know if it makes any sense to you guys. When the NFC South was just garbage, right? And like somebody was winning the division at less than .500. I was starting players that were playing against those teams because they were just shit. They were like getting scores run up on them, and that was like an attack style for me. Who's some must starts for you guys this week that that are going up against some weak opponents?
Well, you were just talking about the Bears defense and on the defensive side of the ball, I think the must start defense of the week is the Baltimore Ravens going down to Miami. I think they have a killer matchup against that team. That offense, you don't know how they're going to come out firing. So I love the Ravens this week. And my start of the week at running back is another Raven. I'm talking about Mark Ingram getting to go up against that Miami run defense. I think Ingram's got a really nice matchup this week. I expect him to have at least one touchdown and close to at least 80 to 90 rushing yards. Plus, maybe he'll catch a couple passes. So I love Mark Ingram, especially for where he's being drafted right now.
Joe, Ingram just made my week. You made my week, Joe.
You must be an Ingram owner, Badge.
I'm an Ingram owner. I'm a Baltimore defense owner. That makes me very happy.
Oh, look at this. Yeah, it's a good week one. And I'll throw a sleeper wide receiver in there for you, too, while we're talking. My sleeper wide receiver start of the week, and he's a guy that I'm comfortable starting as a number three this week, with upside to be a high two, is Dante Moncrief for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He took over that wide receiver two role. He's basically last year's Juju Smith-Schuster now. He gets that New England secondary. Obviously, Juju is going to command a lot of attention. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Moncrief can do on the field. So really looking forward to Dante Moncrief this week. And if he's not drafted for whatever reason, go get him.
Yeah, man, when you said that, I know AC had typed it in our little thing here, but I have Pettis sitting on my bench, Dante Pettis, and you said Dante, and I'm like, ooh, here we go, that he about creeped me out, but but either way, I was like, because I've been back and forth on Pettis. I don't know if I want to start. I know Tampa last year gave up a lot of points. Yeah. I think they started off the season hot, though. They started off the season real hot, and I think it was right up until they had the number one secondary in the league, and then Mitch just fucking went off on them, and they never battled back from that, and they just completely fell apart.
Well, I tell you what, Bobby, I do love Dante Pettis this week as well. I don't know if you guys have been following him at all, but the coaches have been kind of lighting a fire under him, saying that he really needs to earn a spot on his team. You know, he really needs to put himself out there, and you know, the guy's got a ton of fire under him right now. He's being criticized for not for lack of play, but I think it's for, you know, he's not playing as good as he can. And I think he's going to come out really fired up against that Tampa team. So I also like Dante Pettis this week. Double Dantes. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. The Dantes. Bring the Dantes. And what about you there, Mr. Jonathan Santucci? Who do you got for, a must start this week?
Well, I got a few games I got earmarked for high scores. Like 49ers and Buccaneers should be very high scoring. So I would get my 49ers and Bucks players in there. And the Texans at the Saints. That should be a shootout. You know, a lot of airing out in that game. I think those two games, Steelers and Pats, should be a good show as well. And then Chiefs and Jaguars, Rams and Panthers. So I like a lot of those matchups.
Sorry to cut you off, Tooch. You don't think the Steelers and Pats will be a defensive type game? I mean, you know, you got Belichick, who's a defensive mind. Steelers, even though they weren't great last year, historically they're a defensive team. I kind of feel the other way about that game in particular.
I don't know. It could go either way. This is for week one. It's hard to tell.
That's true. These
two teams are the two teams that throw the ball the most. So that's the only reason I'm looking at it as, you know, a high-scoring game. But as far as defenses, like to piggyback on Joe, the Eagles against the Redskins, I like that matchup for the Eagles if you want a defense team start.
Yeah.
The Eagles against that young Washington Redskins team. I don't think they'll score much on their Philadelphia defense. And I'm looking for Philadelphia to get some turnovers in that one.
Tooch, I real quick want to piggyback off what you said about the New England-Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
I really think it's going to be a shootout. Just coming from Vegas, I know that the over-under on that game is 51.5. I'm taking the over on that all day. I really think that it's going to be a shootout, and I want every piece of those two offenses. I think Josh Gordon has a good day. I think Julian Edelman, Sony Michel, James Conner, I think is probably the best play in that game right now. I'm just really looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. Talked about Moncrief already and Juju Smith-Schuster. All these guys, in my opinion, are must starts. You can't go wrong really with any of them. It's gonna be a fantasy explosion, really.
Hey, now I didn't see a lot of Pittsburgh's, and maybe something's wrong with them. I don't think so though. But what about James Washington for the Steelers? Because I kind of had him booked to take the Juju role and not Moncrief. I kind of had Moncrief as the stable veteran. You know, hey, if we need a play, yeah, this is the guy. But I kind of had Washington and Juju as the light up the scoreboard type guys.
Well, it's kind of Tuch and I. We talked about this too on Fantasy Football Goon, but
yeah,
you know, he was in that role. Really, Washington was in that role, and because of Moncrief's play this preseason, he just kind of locked up that number two spot. It's not to say Washington can't be a huge player. He's probably going to be the deep threat. Him and Juju will both go deep, and you'll have Moncrief probably across the middle. So I still want to draft Washington. I still think he's an ownable player, but right now I'd take Moncrief. Tuch, are you on board with me with that?
Long term, I like Washington. I just like his deep speed. He's able to get past the defenses. Moncrief in the red zone, sure. Moncrief's been a guy that we haven't seen it all the time from. Maybe this is different with Ben Roethlisberger. In the past, he hasn't stayed healthy, Joe. Last season, Washington had a case of the drops. So
yeah, he did.
Yeah,
it's an incomplete on both receivers for me. Long-term dynasty leagues, I like Washington, though.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so who are some of your guys that are, you know, just not a good week, or maybe it's just too early that you don't want to start them the first week because it's kind of up in the air on how they're going to fall out? Who are some guys that, you know, maybe people should have on their roster but shy away from them for this first game? Tuch, we'll start this thing with you. And it could be any position, you know, wherever you got them. Who are some guys that you think that, you know, they have the chance to be something really special, but you might not want to start them for week one?
I'm gonna say don't start Aaron Rodgers, even though last week he came. That's the homer in me, Bobby.
Yeah.
I want to see Aaron Rodgers shut down. But, you know, he had three touchdowns in that first game of the season last year.
Yeah.
However, zero touchdowns at Soldier Field. Devontae Adams went 8 for 119 yards against us at Soldier Field last year. So I'm going to watch out for Devontae Adams. Now, in both of those games, Allen Robinson had decent games. So I think he had about 7 catches total for about 115 yards in both games. Jordan Howard was doing most of the damage on the ground at about 5.5 yards per carry, but he didn't get the ball enough. You know, that was the thing. They get away from the run. Now we'll see what happens. They've got David Montgomery to use in the passing game, but I want to say we shut down Aaron Rodgers.
Sweet. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier with the depleted middle of the Green Bay defense now and us with David Montgomery. This could just be an all-out feast. And everybody thinking, you know, Mitch is going to come out slinging, and maybe it's the ground attack that we come out and just destroy him with. Who knows? But I know I'm kind of got away from fantasy there. Joe, what about you, man? Is there any guys that you shy away from for week one that maybe you that you don't see, you know, or you just want to see some game from before you actually throw them into your lineup?
Yeah, so I've actually got 4. So first on this list, I got Duke Johnson. He's on Houston now, and they're playing the Saints this week. That backfield, I really don't know how it's going to work now. You know, they traded for Carlos Hyde. They have obviously Duke Johnson, and there's rumors out there that they're looking for more help at running back.
Yeah.
So I want to wait and see with Duke Johnson. I'm not comfortable starting him just yet. My next sit for the week, the wait and see, is David Njoku, tight end for the Browns. They're going against the Tennessee Titans, who are very good against the tight end.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to start David Njoku just yet. I know people drafted him probably as a number one tight end. And if you're stuck, you can go ahead and roll with him. But for me, I'm going to wait on Njoku for a better matchup. So hold on that. Tooch talked about Aaron Rodgers, but I'm going to talk about Aaron Jones, the other Aaron on the Green Bay Packers, going against that Bears defense Thursday night. It's not the week to start Aaron Jones. I ride him on the bench, but I do love Aaron Jones going forward this season, just not this week. So if you have a better alternative, roll with somebody else. And last but not least on this list, I have Damian Williams for the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, they traded for LeSean McCoy got cut, and then they signed LeSean McCoy. The latest report is that they're going to be both co-starters, 50-50 split.
Yeah.
So I want to wait and see how that plays out before you start Damian Williams. And then on top of it, they have a tough matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm not touching either of the Kansas City running backs this week. I want to wait and see. So those are my four do not touch just yet players. Ride them on the bench.
Hell yeah. Well, fellas, as always, you know, we're going to do this thing all year. We'll have the Barfly tailgate show going. We would be a pleasure for you guys to join us and you know, kick our fans, our injury updates, our start and sits and all that. And before I let you guys get out of here, I'm going to need a score prediction. I'm going to need week one, Thursday night, 100 year. I'm going to need a score prediction. And just while you're at it, why don't you throw in passing touchdowns for Trubisky? So, Tooch, let's start this thing with you, man. Give me a Bears-Packers score prediction for opening night.
I tweeted this out the other day. Bears 26, Packers 20.
Ooh.
And touchdowns for Mitch Trubisky, 2 touchdowns. 284 yards.
So is this a 26-20 with Green Bay has the ball in the fourth quarter and we're all shitting our pants, panicking?
Of course.
Is there any other way?
It's Aaron Rodgers trying to come back in the fourth quarter against us, but falling short.
Always, man. Always. And it just drives me insane. I'm too old for this shit. Joe, what about you, man? Can I get a score prediction and a touchdown?
Of course. I actually made a bet in Vegas on this game, so I'm hoping I can mail it in and get some money back. So I bet the Bears and the over, which is at 46. So I'm going to take Bears 28, Packers 17, and then Mitch is going to throw 3 touchdown passes.
3 touchdown passes. I like the sound of that. 28-17 is good. I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier. We said that, you know, well, either way, it was about the old Madden scores. And I'm like, how do they score all those points? Do they get them on special teams? There ain't no way they're going up against this defense. So special teams is obviously a spot that I'm a little, you know, worried about. And I think, you know, the average Bear fan probably is. You see a lot of talk about Tabor and this and that. And, you know, who knows? I mean, this whole special team thing. But we just need them to come out and blow the doors off of them, man. Like last year, just come out that way, but finish that way, you know, and get after them and just get out of the game healthy. It's what we want. It's what we want of every game. Get out of the game healthy. But we appreciate you boys coming in.
Bobby, final thing I want to say, moving out here to Iowa, I was concerned about not being able to get Bears games. Yeah. A little solution able to put it together was to get Hulu plus live TV for $50. And I can get ESPN. I can get 3 Fox channels across the country, NBC, ABC. I should have all my bases covered for getting the Bears games. Plus, you'll get Nickelodeon, a Cartoon Network, a bunch of other channels, History Channel, A&E, all the other stuff. $50.99 a month. Hulu plus live TV. Plus, you'll be able to see all the other great Hulu content ad-free. Sorry, I sound like a Hulu spokesman, but
no, that's
if you're living across the country, say you're in Kentucky. If you're in Kentucky, you can't get all the Bears games. Want to sign up? Hulu plus live TV.
It's making a strawberry shake.
Of course he is.
I'm about to.
Yeah, that's perfect, man, because you still see people complaining about DirecTV and the no NBC, ABC, like all the channels that they dropped and people like telling them that they want it. I know Dan Aguirre has been on almost every day saying how he needs DirecTV to pick these guys back up because they don't have, the channels in his area and he's not going to be able to see the game. So there she is. Mrs. Santucci just popped in on the screen for all of us. Uh-oh. And now we're holding up championship trophies and stuff.
I got to ask, though, how do you guys feel about your Barroom League fantasy teams?
I have like 7 fantasy teams right now, so I'd have to go back and actually look at it. But I don't think I was too impressed with mine. Badge, what about you, man? How are you on your Barroom fantasy team?
I haven't drafted yet. There's not a – it's a 14-team league. We're still waiting for, I don't know, 10 guys, 9 guys.
Oh, you're doing another one.
Yeah. I'm doing it. That's right. I forgot about that other one, Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one actually I'm okay with.
You must be blown away by his lineup if you forgot.
I forgot. So that one I feel pretty good with. I mean, I look at my roster, guys. I got Baker Mayfield, David Johnson, Nick Chubb, DeAndre Hopkins, Allen Robinson. Shockingly enough, I have Darren Waller starting at tight end. My flex is Philip Lindsay. I got the Vikings D. And Matt Prater is my kicker, so exactly. I'm feeling good, man.
Yeah, for sure. What's crazy is Aldo's son-in-law came in, and he ended up with the best draft in the league.
No kidding.
And it was, I don't know, who was Goldman Sachs?
I don't know.
I don't know who that is either.
I think it's one of Aldo's in-laws.
Is it?
No, it's not. I think it's Nate Giovanni.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it is Nate. So he ended up there too as like one of the top drafts. I ended up with an A- in that one. I feel good about it, except for the whole Aaron Rodgers piece. I know. And then besides that, I got the Red Rocket. So we'll see how that thing turns out.
I love my starting five. Is it five, Jeff? Six? Starting six.
Yeah.
I've got Matt Ryan, Mike Evans, Adam Thielen,
nice.
David Johnson, Austin Eckler, and Jared Cook.
Nice.
That's a pretty strong
one. I got a question for you guys, though, right?
So let's do it. Throw it out.
We let you go. All right. So Allen Robinson or Josh Gordon?
This week, I have Josh Gordon ranked higher this week, but I like both of them this week.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I was thinking of benching Lindsay and putting Gordon in my flex.
I support this week, but I said,
I'd put Lindsay on the bench and
I love it.
Robinson was the leading receiver in both Bears Packers games.
Yeah, yeah.
Last season, so just FYI.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think he's 10 times better this year. I mean, David said in the presser how he's making the cuts that he was kind of gingerly taking last year. He's faster this year. I mean, like anybody, right? Like,
he ain't Jordy Nelson, right, Mike North?
I mean, you get injured, obviously you're going to come back a little bit and slow it up, but I think we're going to see a lot out of him this year. And I mean, some part of me wants to say that, like, you know how we've all kind of been discussing that they're going to spread the ball around so much and that nobody's going to be great. But I don't know, man. The other half of me wants to be like, no, it's going to be like the Allen Robinson show. And the other guys are going to be out there doing their thing, but Robinson's going to fucking light it up. So I guess we'll see Thursday night, you know, when these Packers come to town and we get to fucking start this season off right, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Bear down.
Damn straight. All right, fellas, we appreciate you guys joining us. We look forward to doing this for, you know,
nice, fellas.
Every week and deep into the playoff run. Even though fantasy football will be over, we'll bring you guys in because, you know, playoff, obviously,
yeah,
that's done.
Yeah,
we still got daily fantasy, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing we need to get started. We need to take a look at those DraftKings and the other ones that we did.
Yeah,
FanDuel and all that and teach these people how to make money. I mean, Bears Barroom, you got the Mike North Advantage. He's having people make money. Fantasy Football Goon, they're going to tell you how to steal your league and how to, you know, just roll up the points on people. And, you know, it's the place to be for all this intel. We're just going to talk a lot of shit. Us and, you know, a couple other shows just going to talk shit and whatever.
Well, Bobby, we got to get our FanDuel thing or DraftKings going again. The first half of last year we were rocking, and then it kind of fell off. But
yeah,
totally
for sure.
Dropped off.
yeah. We need to start that thing up, man, and do it. Maybe we'll send out a message. Obviously, we got to send out a message before kickoff on Thursday. But yeah, we'll get that thing going. And you know, Joseph, we will be seeing you tomorrow night for a little Shy Fans in the stands.
Yeah, buddy.
A little double header, actually. We got Fantasy Football Goon, and then we got Shy Fans in the stands. So.
And Buffon 55 tomorrow, too?
Yeah. Buffon 55 and 7.
Triple play.
Yeah, man.
Triple
play,
and then you got a double header of two scoops.
You know, only on Bears Barroom Radio Network.
Quadruple scoops.
All right, boys. Thanks again for joining us. Quadruple scoops. Thanks again for joining us, boys. We appreciate it, man. Yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Later, boys. Good luck this week.
Appreciate it, Jets. All right, guys. Later. Before we wrap this thing up and get out of here, let's go ahead and announce that we have our jersey giveaway, and Shy Fans in the Stands will be raffling off their Akeem Hicks football tomorrow night. So tomorrow night, get your or even before then, get over to Shy Fans in the Stands at Shy Fans in the Stands on Twitter, and retweet, follow them for a chance to enter. Get your last entries in. You know, it's always the last guy who buys a ticket that wins anyway. So get in there, get your entries in, follow them up so you can become part of their Akeem Hicks football signed football giveaway. And then also for Barfly Tailgate, we're doing a Khalil Mack jersey giveaway. It's all stitch jersey. The size is a large. It's a blue jersey. Jersey giveaway is going to go when Khalil gets his first sack of the season. So whenever Khalil's first sack of the season is, we are going to go through, I believe right now it's at 203, because even though the retweets are higher on there, but there's some guys on there that retweeted for promotional purposes only. So we cut them out of there. And then anybody that's on a show in the bar room and any of our, you know, like my daughter retweeted it. She's like, "Dad, I want to win the jersey." I was like, "No, you don't fucking get to win the jersey, kid. Sorry." And I know Badge's daughter did also.
Yep.
Yeah, we had to break the news and tell them, like, "Yo, you guys are out. You're not getting the fucking jersey."
Losers.
Yeah, so they're cut out of it, too. So there's whatever. It's going good, man. We got all that going on. We'll get that thing shipped out and sent to you. Obviously, you have to be willing to give us an address. So I can ship it to you, or maybe a PO box, whatever it is that you want to do. Once we announce the winner, we'll cover that. And, you know, we got a lot of other stuff coming that we're going to give away this season and go from there, man. We're just trying to pay back the fans, give some stuff away, and keep it going. Another thing that we're talking about doing here with the Barfly Tailgate crew is we're going to start. So you guys all know Ryan Badgley has the Badge of Honor segment, and we're going to have some players, some other foundations and that coming on to do Badge of Honor. But we're going to do a little Badge of Honor thing of our own. The game plan that we're going to go with, and I won't say game plan because it's not a solid game plan, but we're looking at doing a donation for every Khalil Mack sack to one of Khalil's foundations or organizations that he runs. We're also looking at the possibility of maybe instead of doing the sacks, we do Trubisky touchdown passes. You know, just there are a bunch of different things that we've been looking at, but we're going to start up our own little donation thing and get some money out there to good causes. And, you know, like it's a couple dollars, but whatever, all of us collectively, it'll make a difference, and we'll get it out to people. And, you know, maybe if you're listening, you want to join in on that thing, send us a DM over at Barfly Tailgate. And you know, we'll go from there. We'll just try to get, put some back in the system for people that need it. I know a lot of you guys know I suffered a lot of hurricane damage last year. My house got just upended, roof ripped off, whole house destroyed. Took us a long time to get it back up and running. Well, for those of you, I mean, that are suffering from Hurricane Dorian right now, there's going to be a lot of stuff for that afterwards. So if anybody's interested in donating or doing any of those things, DM Barfly Tailgate, DM me, DM Badge, DM anybody that you want to on here. We'll help you out, and I'm sure you can find your own anyway. But if you need to reach out, we'll help you get that thing going where it needs to go. All right, boys, just to wrap this thing up, man, we'll pass it around the room. Any last shout outs and game predictions? We're gonna combine them both. Give me your game score prediction. Give me your shout outs, and let's bounce the hell out of here and hope for a big Bear win. Mr. Badgley, let's start it over with you. What you got, brother?
Before I give my prediction, Bobby, I want to kind of do somewhat of a badge of honor here to the Chicago Bears organization. So okay. Just to let you guys know, this is something that I saw and I've kind of had that I've been kind of stashing a little bit. But just because it happens this upcoming Saturday, September 7th, the Chicago Bears organization will hold the Bears Huddle 4-100, a volunteer initiative. The team has decided to honor one of Chicago's defining characteristics, and those are its parks. So with a city motto of Hortus in Urbe, or City in a Garden, the city has long placed pride in the over 100 parks that dot the urban expanse. The Bears have partnered with the Chicago Parks Foundation to ask fans to donate 100 minutes of their Saturday to help clean up one of the 14 participating parks from every corner of the city, northwest and south side. And for a full list, you can go to chicagobears.com, Bears Huddle 4-100. And this is just an awesome thing that the Chicago Bears are doing, trying to get people to go out into the parks district, into the parks in the city, and just picking up a little bit. If you see something on the ground, pick it up. I'll be honest, I was just in Chicago back in June. I mean, they keep the city very well clean. And, you know, being in a bunch of cities, I know a lot of other cities that don't do that. So, but if you're in the parks, this is something that you can do this coming Saturday, September 7th. Go out and help pick up a little bit. You know, if there's some limbs down, see what you can do to get them out of the way, whatever the case may be, just go out and do that. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. Go to chicagobears.com and follow that link, and you can find out the participating parks. So
sweet.
Score prediction. Well, man, I've been thinking about this for a while, especially since I heard Joe and Tooch. I'm going to go 37-16. Bears on top. I definitely think Mitchell have two touchdowns, but I think the running backs are going to own the show without a shadow of a doubt. I just think this team needs to come out and put an ass whooping on the Green Bay Packers to start this season.
Hell yeah.
And I think they're going to do it, man. Bear down.
Damn straight, man. I hope so. We're on our way. Let's go over to Mr. Ryan Kirkland Billings. Ryan KB, what you got, man, on the score and any shout outs or anything like that you got?
So shout out to all the folks I've been arguing with over stupid shit on Twitter this whole week, because y'all get on my damn nerves. But no, seriously, man. Shout out to everybody doing the podcast for the show, man. It's been great. Just hearing how this thing is coming together, man. Like I said, last year I was just a dude just coming along, and just so I happened to hear a 100 proof and was like, yo, these dudes, they sound legit. So you got that. But shout out to everybody doing the podcast, man. And then my predictions, 31-17. I'm gonna go one off of the Madden predictions of Mitch throwing four touchdowns in the game, because that is a little bit of a lot. But yeah. I'm gonna go with three touchdowns by Mitch, and I say Montgomery has a coming out party. I say Tariq gives a score, but I think Montgomery kind of steals the show that night.
All right, sounds good, man. You guys know I wrote these down, right? AC, coming over to you, man. What you got on your score prediction and any shout outs that you got?
I'll do a shout outs first and then follow predictions. I just want to say shout out to all the Bears fans. Every time I like to go out on the weekends. If I meet somebody that's a Bears fan, I always tell them about Bears Barroom. Some people, actually, I was getting my hair cut a couple weeks ago, and this dude, I think his name was Derek or something like that, we was just talking, and I was like, oh, you're a Bears fan? Have you heard of Bears Barroom Radio? He's like, fuck yeah, I love Bears Barroom. I was like, dude, I'm on there. Just listen to the Barfly tailgate show. And
was it Derek Cousins?
I don't know what his last name was.
I talk to that dude all the time, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, well, apparently he's a Florida Gators fan. I don't know if that helps or anything, but Yeah, I talked to him and I was like, you know, I'm the only one with an accent on there, so you'll know exactly which one's me. And then my score prediction, man, every time I think of it, I want to go up and then I feel like it's too high, but I'm going to go 38-17 Bears. I think our defense plays really well. As far as touchdowns for Trubisky, I think he has two through the air and one on the ground. I think Montgomery's going to come out and have a good game. And Eddie Jackson pick six. Fuck it, why not?
Okay, a little Eddie Jackson pick six. All right, so that dude I just looked up is it doesn't say anything about Florida Gators on his timeline. But, hey, either way, Derek Cousins, shout out to you, brother. Thought it was you, but he's a big follower, always you know, like and retweet and conversating on Twitter and that. So I'll go with my score prediction. You went, what, 38-17? I had down 34-13. I think they're only scoring once on us. The rest are field goals. I'm putting us up with four touchdowns and two field goals, one of those being a defensive touchdown. The other ones, I'm sure Montgomery is going to get one, and then let's go two passing for Mitch. So that gives us 34 and 13 for the Packers, man. And then shout outs, man. Shout out to all the Lions and Packer fans that are no longer going to be on Twitter once the season gets started. It's been fun, fellas, but it's fucking so long. You
Lions
fuckers.
Fans are already hiding, ain't they?
yeah, they fucking leave every year. But, hey, it's been a fun offseason. It's been a fun run. You guys are undefeated right now, so congratulations. That point of the season's coming where you hang up Twitter for a while and some of you say how you're going to stop watching games because that's the true fan in you of how you are. And then shout out, of course, to all the guys on the Bears Bar and Radio Network, Mr. Gandia running it all and doing it all. And John Buffone's back with Alyssa Barbieri. They're doing their thing. You got, you know, Shy Fans in the Stands, Mike North Advantage, 100 Proof, Cars Keys is coming back. So Cars Keys will be dropping soon. I'm sure Dan might give us a little more. I thought Dan's piece was awesome. He might give us a little more. Tape Never Lies. Draft Dr. Phil's kicking his Tape Never Lies on YouTube. Get over there. Check that thing out again. There's just all kinds of stuff happening in the barroom. Hopefully I didn't leave anybody out. Draft on Tap. You guys had a kick-ass show badge, you and Danny.
Thanks, brother.
It was a great fucking show with you guys. And, you know, everybody that puts in work behind the scenes and everybody in the chats, the ideas. You know, there's a lot of stuff that guys do in the barroom that's kind of, you know, unsung. So for all the unsung heroes and that, you know, in the barroom that help us out and do all of our things with us, we appreciate it. Gentlemen, you know, that's it, man. Here we go. Season starts. Welcome to the freaking NFL season. And let's end this thing with a big bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down, baby.
Bear the fuck down.